Okay, I have a question for you about this episode.
Yeah.
If you could take anybody who's currently on the show to the sock hop, who would you take to the sock hop?
Okay, character or actor?
Character, character.
Oh, who would I take to the sock hop? I think Midge.
We have the same answer.
Yeah. I think she's having the most fun.
Or, oh no. You know what? I apologize. I apologize. I got two characters mixed up for a second. I
Did you
would
mean
take,
Ethel?
yes, I would definitely take Ethel.
Okay.
You
I
would
think
take
they're the
Midge.
only two people having fun right now.
Totally. Although Ethel doesn't have a lot of fun at the end of the episode.
No, yeah, Ethel's episode really goes downhill. Midge stays like pretty cool at like A-okay.
Considering when we last saw Midge, which was
Yeah.
murdered,
Yeah.
this is she's at a much better place now.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just selling some tickets, hooking up with Fangs.
Yeah, you'll love to see it.
You do love to see it. Yeah, no. I think that's a good answer. Also, they're innocuous enough in the background
Yeah.
that they're not making poor choices like a lot of the other characters on the show.
It's like when people are talking about their Hogwarts houses in Harry Potter, and it's always just like, God, it must be so awful to be at school at the same time as Harry Potter and like not be his friend. Like you're just dealing with like murder cases, but you're like trying to go to chem.
Yeah,
And
because
that's like what this feels like. It's like, I don't want to be part of like that nonsense. I just want to like go to high school and go home safe.
Archie has some real like main character energy specifically this season, so I totally agree with you.
Yeah, which like in his defense he is the main character.
Yeah, but it's the first time probably in all the seasons that he has main character energy.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need any of that.
I mean, this is, yeah, don't you think that he is being written better than he's maybe ever been written?
A
Like,
lot of
he's being
them are.
written. Yeah, actually, you're right. They're, well, I think it's because they're allowed to be a little more on brand and there's like a
Yeah.
clarity to the purpose of the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd argue that Jughead also is more Jughead than he's maybe ever been on the show. Yeah, which is just like a real treat
Yeah.
for this guy over here who actually likes the characters.
I think Alice is being like super normal and on brand too.
Yes, Alice, at least so far, is
Yeah.
not like different episode to episode.
Yeah.
Although we will see what happens with that.
I mean, only chaos from here, you know?
And that being said, shall we roll that theme song?
Let's do it.
Let's roll that theme song. Pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO
XOXO Riverdale.
Riverdale. I'm Louis Pearlman.
I'm Kate Vatter.
I'll remember that we introduced
Yeah, I was about
ourselves
to
this
say, please
time.
note you did introduce yourself.
Please note, please remember. This is your Riverdale fan podcast hosted by two adult comedians that. You know, we've been doing it forever, and we will do it until the earth atrophies into dust.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can't come soon enough.
Can't come soon enough. We're going to be covering episode 119, which is called Skip, Hop, and Thump.
I looked it up
Yeah, is
because
it
I
a
was like,
reference to something?
it's the entire first 2 pages of Google results were this episode.
Yeah.
So I don't think it is.
Yep, that doesn't surprise me.
Nope.
No, but it's actually kind of a fun title for this episode. Yeah, you know, and in certain ways, it's better than like calling it something that doesn't actually relate as close. Although they, I mean, because I feel like they have like sort of a shaky track record on the episode titles that are named after movies and stuff like that.
The next episode is named on a TV show.
What's the next episode called?
Sex Education.
Yeah. I hope they all
So,
speak in British accents for the
oh,
episode.
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Would love to hear some good British accents from these
Yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess this episode, well, sort of. I wonder if they're gonna. It'd be great to have an episode that's set at like a local TV dance show, and it could be called American Bandstand. That'd be really
Yeah.
fun, you
Oh, you
know.
mean the episode and not the show they're on? I'm like, I don't know if they can get those rights. No, yes, the episode title could be American
I want an episode to be set on the set of Dallas. Do you think they can do it, Kate? What do you think?
They can only go for silver spoons.
But they got it. They got Silver Spoons.
Yeah,
Pretty
so,
exciting. Ricky
yeah.
Schroeder cameos.
Yep,
Is he still
they get.
alive, Ricky Schroeder?
Oh, that's a good question. Because I
Yeah.
was about to be like, yeah, but now I'm like,
I
oh,
think he is.
yeah, but
I
why do we
mix.
think he died? Like,
Just
why is.
because we haven't heard from him. Yeah, Google it. Google it
Yeah, he's
right now.
alive.
Oh,
Yep.
wonderful. But he
Oh,
doesn't.
he's younger than I thought too.
How old is he?
52.
Oh, okay. So he's 10 years older than me.
11, birthday on his birthday. Oh, his birthday's in 3 days,
Oh, so
four
he's going
days.
to turn 53. Got it. Okay,
He's
cool.
gonna turn 50. Yeah, he's gonna turn 53. Yeah.
Wow. Happy birthday, Ricky
Yeah.
Schroeder.
Happy birthday, Ricky Schroeder. We don't say it enough.
We don't say it enough, especially on our Riverdale fan
We really don't. Really, we
podcast.
gotta give more credit to Ricky Schroeder.
We do. Someone who. I've probably seen half an episode of Silver Spoons in my
I don't
life.
know that I've seen that much.
Yeah, seriously. It's like a reference that I have an understanding of, but was really before my time in terms of
Yeah.
when I was watching TV.
Yeah, if we can name
Yeah.
all the cast members we could possibly name, I can name two.
Oh, I can only name Ricky Schroeder. Who else
Alfonso
is on?
Ribeiro was on
Okay.
it.
Great. Also, in my brain, it really like is just the same show as Mr. Belvedere.
They're all the same. That
I
was like a
know.
real genre at the time.
Yeah, which was kind of ended by The Nanny, I feel. The Nanny was kind of the version of that sitcom.
Yeah.
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 And you couldn't get any better than it, so that's
There you
why
go.
that
There you
was
go.
it for that genre. Anyway, what Riverdale fan news do we have today
I
before we
have
get
a
into the
couple
episode?
things.
Yeah, let's do it.
One, we briefly talked last week. I want to say, briefly talked about how I had Michael Kopech on my fantasy baseball team and we weren't going to drop
Yes.
until we see how it did. He instantly, his first game was so bad, I dropped him halfway through the game.
Great.
He allowed four home runs and five at bats in one inning, and I was like, oh man. So he's gone.
Wow,
No more Kopech.
I hope he's a better father for that baby.
Oh man, because he's, I mean, he used to be a better pitcher. And frankly, he's only had one game, but that one game was so bad.
I mean, that's a real sign of bad things to come if
Yeah.
he like craps the bed that bad.
Yeah, it was not
Yeah.
like against a great team either. I don't remember who it was, but I remember being like, oof.
Like, yeah, this is no good.
My other thing, so this has been a big week for me with Yankees crossovers. Earlier this week, the Yankees had like a whole big day with the Jonas Brothers, and I was like, this is for me and no one else.
Yes.
And then I woke up this morning to a beautiful tweet from the Yankees quoting Jughead.
Yeah.
And
So,
I
okay.
could not
Yes.
believe.
Don't you feel okay? So it was the Yankees quoting Jughead. I'm weird. I'm a weirdo. Of
Yes.
course. Which is probably the most iconic moment from the show, pop culture
Yep.
wise. I
Yep.
feel like the Yankees co-opting it to feel like credible with people is a sign of the show entering the cultural firmament in like a bit of a different way than it has been before. Do you agree with that?
It is like a weird for them to hit it. And the thing with like sports teams, social media are all like 23-year-olds who are underpaid, but just like straight up killing it. Like I know the Detroit Lions spend a lot of time going through TikTok, like helping kids get out of tests.
Oh, I
Like it's
love
always like
that.
someone will be like, if like an NFL team comments on this, my teacher said I'll cancel the final, and like the Detroit Tigers come swinging in like every time.
That's so funny. What a way to use your social media clout to just absolutely wreak havoc on the world.
Teams
Like,
are so good at stuff like that. Like, I
yeah.
also, fast food restaurants are very good too.
Yes. Because fast food restaurants, I think in particular, want to distract us from really how just bad they are for us and the environment and workers and literally everything, you
They
know?
also, both of these things have nothing to lose. Like
Yeah,
if a
nothing to lose,
sports,
everything to gain. Yeah.
yeah, if a sports team puts out like a really bad tweet, like you might lose a couple fans, but like overall they're gonna be fine.
You think that a shitty tweet is going to mean that people aren't going to watch those games anymore? Like, that doesn't make any
I
sense to me.
If you looked at the top 30 broadcasts from 2022, 23 of them were NFL games.
Yeah, like
It's
it's
they're
not like
fine.
Zachary Levi, who's like this very like mid-level actor who then ended up being anti-vax, and it made a lot of people be like, "Ugh!" Like that's his persona. I think it's very different, you know, for
If
like,
people
yeah.
turned down the NFL for bad things, we wouldn't have the NFL anymore. But people just really
Exactly.
turn a blind eye.
Exactly, yeah.
I do want to say real quickly though that the women's college basketball game had better ratings than every single Thursday night football this
I
past year.
heard that, yeah.
And every NHL game since 1973.
Yeah, that's dope. That's
Yeah,
really
including
exciting.
Stanley Cups. Like they did so well.
Yeah, well, goodbye, Canada.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
It means if the NHL games get a lower ratings than women's basketball, it means Canada has to disband. That's
Yeah.
in the charter. That's in the Royal Canada Charter. I know, I'm Canadian.
They already get lower ratings than the women's soccer games,
Yeah.
and have for years.
I bet that there's a lot of gross, sexist locker room discussions about that among players in the NHL.
I'm gonna say NHL is pretty bad. I'm not confident in locker rooms, but it's certainly in the comments sections.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. And I mean, come on. This shit that's been happening with the NHL over the last few weeks has been real,
Ooh,
real
buddy.
cringe. Yeah.
Ooh, buddy. Like,
Just
you feel that?
make all these players shut the fuck up. Like, calm it down.
Like,
Don't tell them what the jerseys are and they'll be fine. Like,
I was embarrassed as a baseball fan when two relief pitchers on the Rays wouldn't wear the rainbow patch and the rest of their team was like, these guys are pieces of shit. And then I look at the NHL and I'm like, oh, my sport's fine. It's fine. Like,
totally.
no notes.
You think that those mouth breathers that released those statements knew what the rainbow jerseys meant? What
It.
didn't one of them wear one last year and then this year was like, wait a second.
Yeah, and he kept saying like we didn't do it, and the reporters are like, but here's a picture, and he was like, I didn't do that, and they're like, but like we have video and photographic evidence. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about because it didn't happen.
Yeah,
It's
like,
like you're not, this isn't working, man.
you know, one of my friends from college grew up with a little brother who was a hockey player, and her opinion about hockey players is that they were all smelly.
Actually, really, any teenage boy sport with padding
Yeah.
is smelly.
Smelly.
Yeah.
Yuck. Yeah,
Yep.
but I'm just gonna go on my tirade about isolate our Canadian audience who
Yeah.
listens to this. Yeah.
Yeah. You should. You're doing the right thing.
I mean, I did the right thing by leaving Canada.
Yeah.
Oh,
Sick burn.
burn.
You got a sound effect for that one?
I do. I have a new for all our listeners at home, all five our five that have stuck with us. Love y'all. I have a new little podcast mixer here. So, okay, I'm gonna do it again. Here we go. I did the right thing by leaving Canada. What do you think of that one, Kate?
That supposed to be? Is that mouth noises?
That was a kiss.
It was upsetting.
I like that that's the one I chose to debut the new sound patches.
It's like reverse ASMR.
Absolutely. It's wake up. Here's some shit mouth noises.
Oh.
We should do one of these in ASMR at one point. We should like talk about Jughead and like rustle some paper.
Yeah.
That would be
Brush our
so
hair.
fun. Yeah, brush our hair.
It's ASMR so weird. Like, I know that it affects people differently, but it doesn't affect me. And
Think it's the sort of thing where if you do it a few times, then it will start working for you. is for some of those you need to train your brain a little bit, and then it becomes a bit of a cue. You know what
I
I mean?
understand that to a degree, but what I will say is that I'm very deep on carpet cleaning TikTok,
Oh,
and
sweet. That sounds fabulous.
it's like almost as good as power washing.
Oh.
And they all think that like people are in it for the ASMR. So like they have them like squelching on the wet carpets and like really like coming in on the shampoo noises. And I'm like, I just want to see the before and after of this carpet. Like, and I have to keep sitting through like weird, gross noises just to like see a before and after shot of like a very dirty carpet.
Did I tell you ever that a few years ago I got very into, for about the period of a month, this YouTube page, a YouTube channel that was a dude that had a barn with a lot of mice and just built different mouse traps that were mostly humane?
I know what you're talking about, and we didn't talk about this. I know what you're talking about. I haven't fallen in that hole, but I am familiar.
Yeah, I got so into it. It was just the most fun. I feel like, what are we even doing covering a semi-mainstream piece of media
Well,
when
we could be
there's,
talking about trapping mice and carpet cleaning.
yeah, you know, my partner this morning when I woke up was on the couch, reading his laptop and watching YouTube videos of this guy that just designs cities on the City Builder game that we both like and just does tutorials. And there's just
Great.
like thousands of them, and he's wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, so that's what's going on with the Yankees and Jughead.
Yeah.
And then I want to move on to our other piece of news because it's so fucking juicy.
It's so good. Because it could just be like fun, normal, nice news, but it takes a real turn.
Yes, that's a good point. It could be something that we spend like 3 minutes on, but we're going to have to spend a little more time on it.
Yeah. Casey Cott and his wife are expecting a new baby.
Congratulations.
Yay!
That's
Yeah.
just great. You
That's
know,
so good.
those
They
kids are
are,
really doing it.
yeah, good for them. They certainly are seem to be sponsored by Clear Blue pregnancy tests.
Do you want to read it out loud or do you want me to? I feel like it's worth just reading out the entire announcement because it's so bizarre.
It's did
It's
I
also
cut
not
is
that
it?
long, but like,
It's not
it's
that
so
long, but like
crazy.
it's very It's so like you could be better at SpawnCon than you are. Like some people are like pretty good at it and some people are pretty bad. And this was like you're pretty bad at it. And also like what a weird thing to get sponsored by.
Well, I think it's SpawnCon that. Let's just read it first and then let's
Okay.
talk about it. Yeah.
Do you want me to just like read the tweet?
Yeah, I
Okay.
think that our listeners should hear this. So this is from Casey's wife, right?
Yeah. Well, this is
Okay.
first from Casey and then I'll do the one from his wife.
Oh, there were two. Oh my God. Okay. Let's go, baby.
This is Casey's. Mrs. Kotz got a baby in her belly. Thank you at Clear Blue for confirming in words that we are pregnant. There is nothing better than seeing that word pop up on the screen after taking a test.
While you were reading that, I had to like move off mic so that, because I started cackling a little.
Yeah. And then her response, Nicola, I just see that's her name. I wouldn't know off this offhand. Her response is so long
Yes.
and
Was that a
so funny.
tweet or was that
I
a Medium post?
She said it was an interview with People. Wait.
Oh my
Yeah, she said it was
God.
an interview with People magazine. Are you ready for it?
Oh, let's do it.
We thought there was a chance I was pregnant, but you never really know until you know for sure. I woke up before Casey on a Saturday morning and snuck into the bathroom to take a Clear Blue digital pregnancy test. It very quickly said pregnant, and I was so excited. Only problem was that Casey was still fast asleep. I waited for him to wake up for 2 full hours. Finally, when he woke up, I immediately showed him the front of the test. He was half asleep, but proceeded to jump out of bed and run around our bedroom celebrating. It was a life-changing moment and one we will never forget, thanks to Clear Blue.
I like that that one ends with a scary echo
Yeah.
of clapping. Wow.
It's the audience from The Shining.
That's what it sounds like. That one's real dead. That's a real dead sound
The
effect
real
there.
dead audience.
Yeah. Thank you for reading those out loud.
And thank you to Clear Blue Digital.
Thank you to Clear Blue Digital for confirming that she's pregnant, this
Yep.
wife. I mean, this, I have a few thoughts about this. Thought number one is that once you reach a certain level of fame, and it's not even that high of a level, like Casey Cott, whatever. You know, he's been a principal on Riverdale. I know before that he was a Broadway stage actor. You know, that's fine. But it's not like he's a very well-known household name at this point. They were able to monetize their pregnancy. And I'm sure that whatever rate they got paid from Clear Blue was like good enough for them to want to do that. And that in itself, like, really kind of surprises me, you know?
I want to know like how that goes because there's a lot of things where like it's a granola bar and they sponsor you and it's easy because you can just eat a granola bar when you want it. But like a pregnancy test is like they had to know already or be expecting that they might be pregnant but not taking the test, or they took the test and lied. But then also this isn't like an ongoing sponsorship. Like it's a real one and done.
Can you imagine if it was an ongoing sponsorship and like
She's like
every
6 months
like,
pregnant and showing and like
and she's
doing
like,
another Clear Blue.
yeah, she's like, and it still says I'm pregnant. That's wonderful. I was gonna say that just a new baby announcement every 3 months. Like we're not gonna remember.
Frankly, we're gonna forget, so that's not wrong
Well, we're not
with
going to forget after the amount of time we're spending on our podcast about it. Like, you and I aren't going to forget it. The world is probably going to forget, but
the world never found out in the first.
It's pretty bizarre. I feel like the like sort of the order of events that must have happened must have been that Casey probably said to his manager, "Hey, we're trying, you know, and we're really excited and hoping for the best, you know, like any, you know, couples do when they're trying for a baby." And then the manager probably said, "Do you want me to look into sponsorship deals and you can make some money off of the announcement?" And then Casey Cott had to say, "That's great. Yes, that's great. Thanks for the money, Clear Blue pregnancy test." So that's in itself, it's pretty wild.
Also, his wife said Clear Blue more than he did.
Oh yeah, she was like Clear Blue, Clear Blue, Clear Blue, and he was just like Clear Blue. But you know, it's so funny. Like it does remind me of the show when it started and
CoverGirl.
everything was CoverGirl and Betty's. And it also reminds me of Dorito Chip Friend Time, which was the other big product placement that was like really charming.
I feel like, but the product placement in the show doesn't bother me as much as this.
Oh no, this is a whole other level of brazen. Yeah,
For
this is
the listener at
insane.
home who's concerned about finances and having a baby, dollar store pregnancy tests are considered more accurate than like anything you get at CVS because it's what they use in hospitals. So, you could pay $20 for this Clear Blue where it says the word pregnant, or you could just get like a $2 dipstick and it'll give you more accurate results.
Yeah, and it's just like the one or two lines, right? So it just doesn't say pregnant. Well,
And
that's
like
good
the
advice, Kate. I'm glad that you know that. I mean, people
yeah
come to
they come to
XOXO
Exo
Riverdale
Riverdale
for that
for this
sort of
type of
advice.
advice.
Yes. No, but it is good to know. It is really good to know. And like, no, this is like really, really strange. And I just imagine that this is actually with a lower tier celebrity. A company like Clear Blue testing the waters, and we're probably just going to see more of this moving forward because this is a little different to me. I haven't noticed anything like this
You know what
happening
it feels
before,
like though that's
publicity
so
wise.
gross is them like monetizing on people not being able to get abortions anymore. Like
Oh, interesting. Is Clear Blue
people
doing that, or like
it
they're
feels almost like people are more concerned about pregnancy now than they were in a very long time for good reason,
of
and it feels
course.
like there's a scariness, especially with Florida moving to the 6 week ban,
Yes.
that like early in your pregnancy, that like one or two lines things can be like, oh, the second line is like barely there. and like you're not sure. Whereas like this clear blue says pregnant or not pregnant. And that's not to say it's any more accurate than the other one. It's just like more decisive incorrectly.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I feel like people will like, but this is going to say like it's more decisive and it tells you earlier, even though it like might not be as accurate. And people are like really looking for that because 6 weeks is too early. That is barely a missed period, if that.
Of
So
course. Yeah. I mean,
it feels like
it's
if
an
we start
abortion ban.
seeing more and more and more of this, like it doesn't feel good.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other podcast, but you know,
Yeah.
the rights of women right now in this country, it's a very, very frightening time.
Yeah, and this is corporations are definitely certain ones are paying into this. I
Yeah.
think it was like Pampers or something. There was like an internal meeting notice that like went out that got exposed where they were like, this is great for us.
Yeah, this is really great for us. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yep.
it's
Diaper
good for no
sales.
one.
Yeah, literally good for no one. Eventually not good for Pampers
Yeah,
in the
it's
long
bad.
run. Yeah, it's real crap.
It's real bad.
Well, that made me sad, but rightfully so.
Yeah.
Should we talk about this episode?
I guess.
I know. Did you like it?
I thought it was fine. It feels like it didn't move the plot forward until the last 10 seconds.
Well, I think it did. Well, okay.
I feel like it was more world building, but we don't need this much world building.
I hope they hold on to some of these plot elements moving forward. That's my hope, and I hope that the show doesn't get obsessed with the murder mystery that was in the last 10 seconds of this episode. I've heard that it's Dr. Werther's that gets killed. I
Oh.
read that. So we'll see if that is the case because it'll probably be revealed, in the next episode.
Yeah, I was
So, yeah.
hoping not, I'm not hoping that hot dog dies, but that is the catalyst
No.
to Afterlife with Archie, is that hot dog gets hit by a car
So,
and then they reanimate him and then he like bites people and I'm like, this could be fun.
are you thinking that this season is going to be a half 1950s season and then a half 1950s zombies season?
You know, they had these, Jughead and Ethel were working on these zombie comic books, and
Yeah, I
then,
wonder
like,
if that's some sort of foreshadowing for
yeah, I
something.
don't remember who hit Hot Dog in the comics, but like, this could be, it
I
could be
believe it
fun.
was Reggie.
Probably.
He's speeding. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, that could be really, 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 really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, for me, I really enjoyed this episode mainly because, as I said earlier, the characters are very on brand in a way that we've maybe never seen on the show. So that's fun. I thought that they were behaving in character. And also, I really like some of the plot elements that are getting laid out here. I especially like all the sexual awakening plot elements. I feel like, I don't know if I said this last week, because I think I wrote it down last week, if they were maybe thinking of doing sort of a Pleasantville style narrative. Do you remember the movie Pleasantville?
Yeah, I do.
Remember the
Yeah, like,
late 90s film Pleasantville?
yeah, I believe it was Tobey Maguire
Yeah,
and
Tobey
Reese.
Maguire. It's
No.
just,
Who was the woman? It wasn't
I think it
Reese.
was
Was
Reese.
it
I think it
Kirsten
is
Dunst?
Reese Witherspoon. Yeah.
Was it Reese? I
I
feel
think
like
so.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, and it's just a movie where some people get zapped into a
I knew it was Reese.
1950s black and white reality, and then all the characters, because of these people who are modern people getting zapped back, everybody experiences a sexual awakening. And then, as they experience sexual awakenings, they turn to color. Yeah, and I just feel like this a plot arc that's basically the sexual awakening of 1950s Archie comics characters. That's actually super fun, and a good use of like the character's sexuality, like better use than like fucking Archie banging Miss Grundy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, like this is like that's more fun. It's playful. There's a lot of meat there. Loved the scenes with Kevin and Clay Walker. Those are really great. Clay Walker is a character who's pretty recent. He was invented for the Life with Archie comics, which were, you know, one of my favorite series from the last like 15 years that was basically kind of a fun soap melodrama with the Archie characters, with all of them as adults. Sound familiar? And Clay and Kevin end up being husbands, and they meet in the military. So that is, you know, that's a character. So that character doesn't have a lot of comic book stories about him. So like he's a bit of a blank slate, which is good for the way they're using him here. I was into it, and also just like cool to see a queer character in the 50s flirt so smoothly and like kind of directly with Kevin, but in a way that like probably wouldn't get him caught. Like in ways that could be misconstrued, which is, of course, the way people in the 50s, queer people had to flirt with each other. So that's kind of cool.
The one part I have with that though is that like we already saw Cheryl go through this, and I don't feel like we need to see Cheryl go through it again.
You mean we already saw Cheryl go through this on the
Like
show earlier
sexual
on?
awakening, yeah, she like went through this. It was like a whole season. And
Well,
we're just doing it twice.
but it didn't feel like Cheryl in the earlier season. It's not like she had a lot of moral issues with her sexuality internally. It was that her family did. Her
I think
family had
didn't.
problems with her being gay. Remember,
Yeah, I
because they
felt.
sent her away to that, to Sisters of Quiet Mercy and shit,
Yeah, I was gonna
right?
say, I feel like we had a time where she wasn't sure, but she was because she had that friend that she talked about when they went to see Love, Simon.
Remember that?
Remember when they all saw Love, Simon?
Another big watermark of that show, of this
Yep,
show.
yep, yep.
They went to go
That's
see
what
Love,
the Yankees are
Simon.
gonna tweet about next is when they went to see Love, Simon on the
Simon.
Riverdale.
Our Love, Simon episode is one of our more listened to episodes of this show. So
That's very
really,
funny.
really hit the heart of America there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we really touched on something
We
there,
really touched on something with the Love, Simon cinematic universe.
Which I guess there is one because there's that TV
That's
show.
why, yeah, that's why I said it. Yeah.
Did you watch that show?
I did not, Kate. No.
I would put it on and not pay attention.
Yeah. Maybe a good little double screeny show.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
what it was.
Anyway, yeah. Okay. So this is, I think, a bit of a trend with us, which is fine. It's sounding like first two episodes, you are enjoying this season less than I am. I'm actually a little more enthused and geeked about this season, which is okay. We're allowed to be two podcast hosts with differing opinions. It's okay.
Yeah, and we have different interests, and this one like really feeds into your
It
interests.
actually does, yeah, in more ways than I thought it would.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, okay,
Yeah,
like I don't love the 50s. I don't.
I don't love the 50s either. The 50s aren't one of my big eras. You know, I really would have loved to have seen a Riverdale season set specifically in 1968, 69.
Yeah.
But that being said, there are some elements of that they're specifically hopping on here. Pardon the pun, not intentional, that are some of my interests, like this delving into the world of 1950s comic books. So this is really interestingly historically accurate. It's because this is some of the stuff that these writers like RAS seem to care about. So during the 50s, post-war 50s, people were not interested in superhero comics. This was an interesting blip in the mainstream, comic book industry, where there were a lot more adults reading comics. A lot of servicemen read comics in World War II and then continued reading them into their, new lives, as civilians. So they thought that superheroes were childish, which at the time, well, they are childish. Like they're, it's this power fantasy. So there was a period where there were only really a few superhero comics being published, very few. And then all the rest of the comic books, which were doing very well, and it was quite a profitable industry, were crime comics, horror comics, and like romance comics and some war comics as well. Like it was like, and one of the most popular publishers at the time was EC Comics, who was run by this really, really sharp editor, whose name was Bill Gaines, who over that time invented Mad Magazine, which just is an incredible cultural legacy to, you know, but the hearings that we talked about in the last episode, they ended up specifically going after EC Comics, who were so successful. And those comics were pretty lurid, the crime and the horror comics. And basically, the way that the panel, the congressional committee dealt with that was when they created the Comics Code, they said that there were specific words that couldn't be used in the titles of comics, and they were all words that were in the titles of EC Comics. So it was like, you can't use the word weird, you can't use the word crime, you can't use the word crypt. Like, and it was like, oh great, now we have to cancel Tales from the Crypt, which was like a very, very popular comic of theirs. So yeah, so they go to Juggy and Ethel decide to work on a comic together. Love how Jughead gets into it. He's feeling angry that they stole one of his ideas.
Side note is like
Yeah.
Bernard, the assistant. Have we seen that guy before?
I don't think so.
He looked so familiar.
Oh, maybe from another show. I don't recognize him from Riverdale.
I thought he felt very rude on me. His name is Bernard, right?
I think so. And then there was also, I want to look up his name because I looked him up. Yes. So the dude's name was Al Fieldstone, which is a play on, I believe he was a 50s EC editor, Al Feldstein. So that's pretty fun. And they go to Pep Comics, which of course Riverdale is known as the town with Pep. And Pep Comics is an actual comic book long-running Archie comic. So that's all super, super fun. And then, like, the way that Jughead actually gets into the biz and the way that Ethel ends up hopping on is like fairly accurate to the way a lot of comic book writers got their start, is they go in and be sort of demanding.
This guy's been in 3 episodes of Riverdale.
And is the same character?
No.
Oh, weird. They just keep hiring him.
Yeah, he played a dealer and a soda jerk before. I feel
So
like
he is a character actor in the Couvre who keeps booking Riverdale.
Yeah, I feel he's like related to someone.
Do they?
But like someone who does like
He's
Archie comics.
Dylan Sprouse.
Jesse Goldwater
Oh,
is the
yes,
name.
that's who it is. Okay, yes. Jesse Goldwater, I've met him before.
Okay.
He is very nice. He is the son of one of the current editors in chief of Archie. I met him at Comic-Con many years ago. He's a really sweet guy. I met him at the Archie booth, and
And
he,
you didn't recognize him.
no, I mean, I only met him briefly
Yeah.
once. He gave me a free Josie and the Pussycat shirt, though. That was nice. He was friends of a friend of mine I was hanging out with who also went to Tisch. They went to NYU for acting together, not, you know, so they went to Tisch. And yes, they keep putting him on Riverdale.
Yeah.
Great. So that's who that is. Yeah, it's Jesse Gold. Anyway, something else. Okay, something else about this episode that I just think is really fun is KJ during the musical episodes has proven to be just a dreadful dancer, and they made it a whole plot point in this episode.
And I will say the scene where Betty is teaching him how to dance, Alice had the single best entrance I've ever seen on the show. And like, it wasn't even what she said, it was just the way she like bustled into the room after like opening the door and like glided in. I was so into.
I liked how she said goodbye, Archie,
Yeah.
and made him leave.
It was so good.
Another thing about all of that is this is an episode that deals with the love triangle in a way that isn't cloying and annoying and has some complexities to it. Betty is beginning to have these feelings for Archie. She's with Kevin.
Who thinks she is a sex maniac ever since she asked to get pinned?
Yeah. Yep. And poor Betty, who just wants to kiss her nice boyfriend, you know? And then here's Veronica, who is playing with Archie's heart. And that is the classic dynamic here. And it became a full, fleshed out, fun plot of an episode of the show in a way that didn't feel particularly sexist. I guess setting it in the 50s gives it that pass because it becomes commentary.
Yeah, I will say my favorite Veronica moment of the episode is when Smithers came to give her Archie's poem, and she said, "I
Yes.
was about to put my face on," but she's like in full makeup when she says that.
Well, yeah, that has happened multiple times on the show with multiple characters where they're like, time to put on our makeup, and it's like layers and layers of foundation.
And she had like fully like eyeliner and lipstick on too. I was like,
Yes.
you have like stage makeup on. Like, you're not even like light here.
Do you think that something's going to happen where Jughead ends up writing for Pep, and then something happens that's similar to what's happened before, where this version of Jughead's going to end up writing the destinies of some other pocket universe of these characters?
That's a little bit what I felt when I say this afterlife with Archie thing, with the way that Ethel enters at the end, is
Yeah,
that they wrote those zombie comics.
with her quote unquote putrid pages,
Yeah.
which is also great, really fun writing. You know, these pages are putrid, and I mean that as a compliment. Like, I
Yeah.
want to hear more of that on the show.
But that was like part of my intuition about Afterlife with Archie too, is that like we've seen Jughead draw the future, and
Yes,
that could
and
be what's going on here.
the future will be zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cultural anachronism here, a mistake, something that I did not appreciate. The twist was popularized in 1960.
A lot of the music is, I was like, this feels like 2 to 3 years ahead of where it should be.
What other music? Well, there was the Fangs. Fangs sang
Tutti Frutti.
Tutti Frutti, I believe, is from the mid-50s. I'm gonna look it up right
Yeah.
now.
There was like something, it wasn't like a song they did a lot about. It was, maybe it was the twist that I'm thinking about, but I felt like the whole episode was like burgeoning into like
Oh,
early
so
60s.
Tutti Frutti is from 57
Okay, so I was right.
when Little Richard released it.
Yeah.
I know that it was a bit of a, I believe different artists were singing Tutti Frutti around the country, sort of from the mid 50s into the late 50s when it was released. Tutti Frutti is a great choice, though, because it is like Little Richard in himself is such a great example of like the early queering of rock and roll, despite the fact that like a lot of people maybe didn't have the language for what was going on with him.
Yeah.
So
Well,
I
there's so
love.
many women who thought like Liberace was a heartthrob that like just people didn't
Yes.
have the gaydar they have now.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, Liberace's wonderful. He's so urbane and gentle. Like, in the meantime, Liberace was sleeping with men and trying to adopt them at the same time.
Yeah,
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I like the inclusion of Tutti Frutti, but you're right. Would Tutti Frutti have reached Riverdale by 1955? Probably not.
and then combining that like with the twist just felt like, and there was like a sign behind them that said it, oh God, what did that sign say?
It said, turn off your phones. You're at a
Yeah.
dance. Yeah.
There's, I feel like it's that like groovier something. It wasn't though. It was like a real strong like hippie phrase, and it was in the bar that wasn't a bar that Tony was in under Pops.
Well, remember that a lot of that alternative culture did start right around then, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah, but like I love that they were at a beatnik coffee house. That was fabulous. That's where
yeah.
the serpents are hanging out in 1950s Riverdale. Are they all beatniks? Do they all write poetry? Nothing would make me happier.
Yeah,
All the
whatever.
serpents are like little Allen Ginsberg clones. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Yum yum yum.
Whatever the sign was in the background was like late 60s, early 70s level. It was
Okay.
like pretty far into like hippiedom and like
Yeah.
that.
It was like keep on trucking or something like that.
Yeah. It
Yeah.
was, we really love doing the hustle here in
Oh, that's my timer going off just to tell us that we normally that's silent. Don't know why that happened. Listeners at home, you get a little peek at how the sausage is made. Definitely not editing this out. It's
No.
great. It's gold. Anyway, yeah, that's just our timer just to keep us on track. what else in this episode was of note? Yeah.
Midge and Dilton are back.
Yes, God bless. Is
Yeah.
this the same actor that played Dilton
I
originally?
don't think it was. It looks
No,
different.
I
I
think
was
it's a
just,
new dude.
because
Yeah.
I was like, is this supposed to be Dilton? And then Cheryl called him Dilton, and I was like, okay.
And also, though, she ended up bullying him in the correct way to bully Dilton, which I loved. But something about Dilton, if they're going to use him in this way, is that Dilton and Moose are a bit of a pair together, and they're friends with each other. And Moose sort of, he sticks up for Dilton and vice versa. So where is our beautiful Moose? You know, where is he? Yeah.
We keep talking about wanting to bring a cast member on the show, and I know last week we said like a side person. And then off air, we said friend of the show, Richard Kind.
Yes.
But like, if we could get Cody Kearsley,
That would be really fun.
life changing.
I'm sure he'd have fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and he wouldn't be like at all weirded out by how much we talk about his looks.
Well, we would not tell him.
No, but I worry that he'd still like, I listened to a couple episodes to see, and you guys are like real horny for me.
Well, isn't that why we'd want him on our show? So we can look at him through a Zoom window?
I mean, it is, but
Yeah. Yeah, let's stay tuned, listeners. Maybe we'll be able to get him because I mean, he's a Vancouver theater actor and I'm connected to that world, so I might be able to
yeah,
see if I can make a
pull some
connection
strings.
there. I mean,
Yeah.
not pull some strings. That makes it sound like I have clout, which I don't. But you know what I mean, like at least reach out to friends who
Yeah.
might know him or might know people who know him and
Yeah.
we could figure something out. Yeah, we'll see if that happens. And if there's another like more minor Riverdale character that you'd like to see us attempt to try to interview before the end of this show, tweet at us because that's fun. You know, maybe there's some other people we have connections to we're not even thinking about.
Yeah.
A friend of mine did a movie with Casey Cott, so that's a
Well, he's
possibility.
a little busy with
Also, I don't feel like he'd want to be on the show specifically after this episode where we really read him to filth. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's also too big for what we're going
For
for. Like, I
us?
think in the grand scheme of Hollywood, he's not too big, but I think we're
Yeah,
trying to go
for
for even
us.
more minor.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we are trying to go more minor than Casey.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Ethel asked Jughead to the sock hop, and Jughead was like, yeah, as friends. And she's like, yeah, of course, as friends. And he's like, yeah, that should, I think he says something like, that should be fun for a laugh. And
So mean.
they are, well, he is a little clueless when it comes to this nice young woman who
Yeah.
has a crush on him, which is also on brand for the, well, it's different in the comics. Ethel is written really meanly and it's awful, and I'm glad that they've dropped that because it's so uncool. But then he says, and they should have a pretty good spread there. And I was just like, yes, this is all I want from this character right now, is he's got
Yeah.
like this fiery sense of indignation about this whole comic book thing. And he just wants to chow down on the spread of the dance. And then cut to the dance a few scenes later, and there he is, just like standing by the table alone, eating some snacks.
Yeah, just grazing.
I was like, this is the best Jughead we've literally ever seen on the show.
Oh
Like,
my God.
this is all I want from this guy.
I do want to real quick talk about, so there's a scene where Veronica has Julian and Archie come over and they're like talking about art.
Yes, I wanted to
And
bring that up next too. Yeah.
it's so well written when Archie is like, I really kind of prefer Norman Rockwell. It was like, of course you do, Archie. Like,
Yes.
it felt so like, and I like, it's easy to have like some straight guy in the 50s like Norman Rockwell, but it was like such a perfect pick for like that type of dude that can't move his hips and like is kind of oblivious to everything to just like only like very realistic artwork.
Well, I mean, Norman Rockwell, beyond being realistic, was sort of this idealized America, which is Archie to a T. I think the writers were really lucky that they had an artist to reference who we still know who it is, that was so iconic, that was so active specifically in the 50s. Like, it was just a really good match. And I agree, it was a great moment. Also, like, the lodges have a Monet, which I guess mid-century is less incredible than it would be now if they were to have a Monet. Yeah. But
Yeah,
I was
less
still
than
like,
100 years old.
whoa.
It was like definitely, it was less than 100 years old then. Like, people were still alive that like overlapped with Monet.
Yes.
When did he die? I think it
Look it
was,
up. When is
I
this
think it
is the
was early
season where we look it
19th.
all up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's a picture of him in color. No, is that 1926 he died.
Yeah, okay. So that would
So
be, about 25 years after he died, or 30 years after he died. They have
yeah,
this
so
Monet. Well, good for the lodges. Great taste, lodges.
yeah, they got him before he was hot. I mean, he
Yeah,
was hot at the time,
totally.
but like more hot.
Yeah, of course, dead artists they only appreciate. Yeah. And then I really also I just want to bring up this the scene where Veronica goes to, what, is everything okay?
A bird crashed into the
Oh no.
window. My windows are not that clean. It's fine. It's in a tree now, and it wasn't. Oh, nope, it's gone now. But like,
Kate just did a real take to the side of the camera, and I was like, oh no.
that loud, but it was. I've never. There's a whole tree. I've never had a bird run into this window before.
Of course, it happens while we're recording something.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. A bird has flown into Kate's window.
Yep.
Not a great omen.
Nope.
So, Veronica goes to apologize to Archie. This also is a good comic book moment in a lot of ways. And Mary is there, of course. And Mary and Veronica have this confrontation where she really says, "Don't play with my boy's heartstrings." And then I laughed because it's just more true than the show wanted you to know when. Mary says to Veronica, "My son is a simple boy." And I know they meant that in a very 50s way. And in a, he's a small town boy. Like, that's what they
He
meant.
doesn't need or want much, is what they meant.
Yes. And I laughed out loud because I was like, well, well put, Riverdale, because like the entire series has been Archie kind of behaving like he's a bit of a dullard. So I was like, yes, well, he is. Like,
He's simple.
he is a little bit of a doof.
Yep, that's how you talk nicely about your kids' friends. It's like, oh, he's simple.
Yeah, totally. Like, in a repressed way, absolutely. But also, this season, interestingly, I would argue Archie is behaving this season in a little more of a well-rounded, complex way than we've seen from him before. And even him writing the poem, that is a nice Archie move. And I, you're going to be like, yeah, Louis, shut up. But like, I hope Archie picks up a guitar during the season and realizes he's a nice songwriter boy. That would make me so happy.
Was Fangs ever one of the musician boys in this show before, like, these past two episodes?
Well, they have all sung and danced at different periods on the show, But no, this is a new role for Fangs to sort of be this greaser guy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, little Fangs. Also at one point, I believe Archie refers to Veronica as the ginchiest girl, which is great writing
Great.
and a great
Yeah.
slang that doesn't exist anymore. Really, really, really fun. I was very happy to see Smithers. Very happy to see Smithers. Hope they use him more. Didn't they kill him a few seasons ago? Didn't he get killed by the mob?
I feel like he was injured very
Yeah,
seriously.
and then he
They
disappeared.
just didn't bring him back, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing about this season so far is it is they are like, we
Bring
have the
out your
liberty to
dead.
bring back everybody, and
Yeah.
that is a real treat and does feel rewarding to us who have watched so much of this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just have a few if there's anything you super want to bring up, I literally have just a few more little notes here that we haven't covered yet. Is there
Yeah.
anything really big for
No,
you?
the only thing I really have is that I don't care for Julian.
Well, Julian has
Like
turned
also
out to
not as a
be a
vil
heel.
but like not even as a villain. I just like something about that guy, like just but I'm just not into it. Like even if he played like a good guy, I'd be like, I'm not
His
into Julian.
performance style, you think?
Maybe.
I like him. I think he's quite devious. I mean, you know, this is like a real shitty thing I'm attracted to that has to do with my upbringing and going to a private school and stuff.
He
Is
feels
these sort
like
of shitty, rich, bland guys.
and it's not the same, but in like the mid, like the early to mid aughts teen shows, like The OC and One Tree Hill,
Yes.
he felt like the guy that was like the other man who like the girl that they were into is into this guy, but the show was like, we're not going to make him like a total villain. But like you also don't have sympathy for him, and that's what it feels like, is like you don't like him because he's the other guy, but not because he like did anything.
No, he's not particularly evil.
Yeah, but it feels like they're trying to do that and missing the mark.
Well, yeah, yeah, tonally it's a little off. I also want to one up what you said because I think something you referenced was really interesting. The ca it does feel like sort of this mid-2000s casting. Because that was a period, I would argue, where the casting was very much behind where people's brains were at and what they found attractive and what they thought was interesting. I thought that, like, specifically in the early to mid 2000s, it was a lot of shows with, like, these kind of, I describe them as, like, doughy white male actors that were supposed to be the big heartthrobs when we
When
actually
it was
had
all
all.
about Seth Cohen.
Yeah, where Seth Cohen was a little more interesting, and you know, there were it was time for sort of a leap in casting that where we saw more diversity and we saw different portrayals of masculinity, but mainstream media hadn't caught up with that yet. They hadn't quite figured out how to
I
do it.
tried to explain to the teens I worked with once about how much they benefit from the existence of Seth Cohen. And like the history of like nerds becoming cool and how like it all sprung out of like this one character from this one show, like made such a huge difference in the culture in a way I think we don't really think about. And they're just like, cool, thanks, Coach Kate.
Well, yeah.
Like, I think it's, and I don't, no one's ever called me Four Eyes before. And I'm like, you don't get it. Like,
Yeah, totally. And they were like in their brains, they were thinking, wow, she's so 2000 and late.
and they're not wrong, but I do think that, like, I mean, you could tell even like when they were the difference between like the first and second season of the OC when they were like, we didn't think people were gonna like Seth. What is this?
Yeah, totally, where it was a
Because then they do bring
surprise.
in like the third or fourth season, like a hot guy who's like the lead that they were expecting, but is like into comic books with Seth.
Yes.
And that was like the first time you saw like a hot nerd on purpose. Like, not, I think Adam Brody's very attractive, but that's not what they were trying to do.
Yeah, it's similar to actually another I think another example of this is in the 60s, Star Trek, Spock became a sex symbol, and they were like, "What?" And then all these women were writing in, and they were like, "We love how smart he is." And that was very, very appealing to so many people. And they in no way were expecting it. And now in this new Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, which I can't recommend highly enough. It's like a real treat of a show. It's just like it's really delightful. They have this very sexy dude playing Spock, and it's like, yeah, now they know exactly what they're doing, which is a little different than casting Leonard Nimoy, who is very attractive, but like this is like a bit of a younger heartthrobby type character
Yeah,
guy playing Spock.
they cast him on purpose for that, and it didn't just like Adam Brody like fell into our hands.
Yes,
But
totally.
like, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. My only other two things to talk about very quick about this episode. Just we have to reference the scene where Veronica reads Archie's poem back to him, you know, because she finds the poem and she reads it and how much she loves it. And the poem is perfectly nice. I'm not trying to be mean or criticizing Archie with the poem or anything. The poem is perfect, rhyming couplet stanzas. It's a very traditional poem. And then Archie goes, it doesn't even rhyme. Like playing sort of subtle, you know, or you know what I mean, like playing like dumb. And it's like I felt like that was so insulting to the audience. I was like, that poem, like you could say something else about the poem, but that poem actually rhymed perfectly.
I think they were like, it was slightly off rhymes, and I only like think of it because there's a new season of Schmigadoon now, season two.
Yes, has that
Chicago.
started yet?
Yeah, there's two episodes of
Oh,
Chicago
we
out.
got to get Brandon and I need to get caught up. We love
And
Schmigadoon.
there's like a scene where Cecily Strong's character is explaining like the difference between musicals from the Brigadoon era to musicals from the Chicago era.
Yeah.
And she mentions that Chicago has more off rhymes.
Or
And then
slant
Keegan,
rhymes. Did she talk about slant rhymes or
yeah, and
off
like
rhymes?
Keegan, I don't remember what she said, but Keegan-Michael Key is like, explain that. And that's like almost what was going on with Archie, is that like, you don't think, like, you're not like, those don't rhyme, but like, if you write it down, you're like, oh, those don't rhyme.
Well, there's a difference between that's actually a really interesting. When I was working on my musical, just as a little side note, but this was a really interesting thing to learn. The people who I was working with, a composer that went through the BMI program, and that's just it's a musical theater writing program in New York that's really well regarded, and they really put them through the grinder. Like it's very intensive, which is great, but this apparently has to do with an aesthetic that has to do with specifically Sondheim and his influence on the program. They don't allow in their work, they don't allow for slant rhymes at all. And when I was working with Joel said to me in several points of the show, I want us to remove all the slant rhymes. And we were writing a rock musical, and I was just like, well, that's off genre. And I had to find examples, and it wasn't an argument with us, but it was like a aesthetic debate about the show, where he was like, we need to remove all the slant rhymes. And I was like, well, you know, this show's closer to like Hair and Tommy and those sorts of shows, and those shows actually have slant rhymes, and it's not an issue for the audience. Because apparently the big argument was that because the audience has to follow so much lyrically and visually with what's happening on stage, slant rhymes are too, it's too difficult for them. It's too confusing, which I think is kind of odd. No disrespect to traditional musicals. Like I love them. I think they're fabulous. Like it's not a, but I always thought that was kind of interesting, an interesting aesthetic difference.
They talk actually like, I mean, the people who write Schmigadoon are like so deep in it. But like, I kind of almost wish she would get into it more because there is like a reference to like, there's a lot of like chorus line, like very direct chorus line references. And God, there's something else. Oh, like there's a really strong Cabaret and Hair, and there's actually very little Chicago.
Oh, that's fun. Well, maybe it'll happen as it moves on in
Yeah,
the
but I
show.
do think it's interesting like how deeply and specifically she calls out when Schmigadoon was kind of directing this. I felt like Schmigadoon was more Music Man-y than other things, and so it feels like this is gonna be.
Well, have you ever seen Brigadoon?
I was in a production of Brigadoon, thank
Oh,
you.
sweet. Because I mean, I feel like mainly Schmigadoon was a cross between Brigadoon and Music Man,
Yeah, I felt
primarily.
like
Yeah. And
it felt
also a
like
little, there's a little bit of Carousel in there as well. Yeah.
it
Sort of
felt
that
like
Ro
for
Rodgers and
Schmigadoon
Hammerstein.
was like the word Schmigadoon worked better, but they kind of were more familiar with the Music Man, and that's what it feels like with this, is that Schmicago
Yeah.
sounds really good, but they kind of know the other shows more.
Yeah. And well, also, like for a mainstream audience, they're going to be more familiar with Music Man than they are with
Brigadoon,
Brigadoon, because
yeah.
Brigadoon's a little more, yeah.
It sucks. It's boring as hell. Don't watch it.
Oh, I remember I, the last time I
I
saw
also
it,
had
I.
a bad experience. My middle school drama club was like not fun.
Yeah. I mean,
So.
I remember watching the movie with a friend of mine in high school, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was like a really charming musical. So
Yeah.
I like the tropes it drew from it for Schmigadoon. But yeah,
Yeah.
watch,
A better
listeners,
production, yeah.
watch Schmigadoon, watch Chicago. What fun.
Yeah. Great
Anyway,
fun.
the last thing that I really liked in this episode that I thought was very sweet, and we don't have a lot of moments like this on the show, is when Veronica wanted to dance with Archie and he turned her down because he wanted to go dance with his mommy. And that
Yeah.
was nice.
It was nice.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, that's that episode.
I guess, wait, should we real quick talk about how it ended with Ethel coming in like
We
covered in
addressed it a
blood?
little bit earlier in, but yeah, okay, so Ethel's covered in blood and she says it was horrible, oh my gosh, and she sort of has a collapse moment. So there's it's going to be some sort of murder mystery,
Yeah.
and my only hope is that I think all the world building they've laid out and some of the plots they've created are really fun. And I hope the murder mystery does not take over too much. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
I get why they'd want to have one more murder mystery for the series finale, the final season of
It's the
Riverdale.
framing of the show tends to be around some big mystery, and they,
Yeah, it is what it
yeah.
is. And some of it has been real rough, like Griffins and Gargoyles season
Yeah.
and The Farm. All that was so difficult in retrospect. However, Black Hood was fun,
For the first season, yep.
Well, Black Hood was second season.
Oh, right. First
Black Hood
season was just what happened to Jason?
was
Yeah.
Jason. Well, that was the best season. That was
Yeah.
real television,
Yeah.
as we've discussed. That was a real season of a real show. By the time the second season started, it became a fake show and has been a fake show ever since. But Black Hood was fun because it was drawing on the tropes of a slasher film, which was all really, really enjoyable. And then it went to Cuckooville,
Yeah.
cult land and Dungeons and Dragons land. There's way less to mine there. So we'll see what kind of murder what kind of texture and feel this murder has. Hopefully it'll be something that has a lot going for it so it won't get
Yeah.
boring for us.
Yeah.
Who was on your power list?
My power list is Jughead, Alice, and Tony. I think they didn't drive the series moving along, but they drove a lot of stuff in this episode.
Alice busting in.
Yeah, but like Alice, like talking about relationships and kind of breaking people up, and Tony like changing everything about the dance, and Jughead is still like driving the show.
Yes. Yeah,
Yeah.
this is a real Jughead driven season so far. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. I had Featherhead, Principal Featherhead, Ronnie, because of her salon she threw, mainly. Cheryl and Al Fieldstone.
Great.
Because I loved him.
Yeah.
Who was on your crush list?
It was tough this week. I thought
Yeah,
Betty's.
not anything really dynamic, I felt.
No,
Yeah.
Betty's clothes were real cute,
Yep.
including when she had her name embroidered on her sweater.
Yeah, just classic.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah.
And then I put Dilton and Midge because, like, sure. What other
Yeah.
chance are we going to get for Dilton and Midge?
Yeah, I had Midge as well. Super fun to have her in the episode and looking very cute. And then I had the only other one that I had was Kevin, because I like the shirts they're putting him in. I think they're very cool. And something I think about the era that we have a misconception about is that the clothes were boring, but there were a
Oh,
lot
so
of
fun.
interesting sort of boxed, kind of bold patterny work happening in the 50s with the clothes. And I think that
Yeah.
specifically where they put Kevin in this episode showed a lot of that. So I was into
Yeah,
that.
I don't know people that think the 50s clothes are boring, but I think it's because I know people who think of like 50s women's clothes with like hoop skirts and polka dots and like
That's
hula
true.
skirts.
There was all of that. And then there was
Yeah.
also sort of the housewife Leave It to Beaver stuff, which we think a lot about men wearing drab suits to work and then wearing them
Yeah.
at home and that sort of thing. But
Yeah,
that
but
was,
women's clothes has like a much stronger. I mean, it always, women's clothes always have like much more of an effect on things, but.
Totally. Of course, always. So, what are we looking forward to next week? What was the episode title again?
Sex education.
That's right. So we'll see how this all goes. I wonder if any
Yeah.
of our characters are going to lose their V cards.
Ooh. Maybe.
We will see.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks everybody who's listening. We're thrilled to be back. We're having a really good time. If you have anything you want to engage with us about, feel free to tweet at us. We check the Twitter regularly, Instagram us, write a message over Instagram. We're happy to chat with you. Thanks to our editor, Angeli Mercado. We're thrilled to have you back.
Yeah, and our theme songwriter, Louis Aronowitz, who we're also thrilled to have back, even though he has done nothing since the first season.
It's just great that you recorded a piece of media for us that we can use in
In
perpetuity.
perpetuity, yeah.
Anyway, for XOXO Riverdale, I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Vatter.
Bye.
Bye.